Hello, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Truck Stop Ministries. We pray that it will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. And now, here's your chaplain.
Good to see you. Tonight, we're going to be in Matthew 13. If you're into looking at the little book in the seat there, it's on page 14, page 13, 14. If you're in your own Bible, I don't have a clue.
You got two different Bibles in the seat. Yeah, well, this is just in the Testament,
yeah. In the pink Bible, it's on page 13. On the Lake Bible, it's on page 14.
What chapter did you say? 14?
Matthew 13. All right, tonight's message is one you can't afford to ignore. Sometimes I hear on TV or radio, I hear the preachers make the startling claim that you need to get a copy of this message. It may be the greatest single message you'll ever hear. Well, maybe they're right. But there's one thing I know for sure. The message I'm about to preach tonight is one message that you can't afford to miss. The truth that are revealed by Jesus in this parable that we'll be reading are life-altering. And if they teach a truth so powerful that they can't be ignored. So I want to look into these verses for a few moments. I want to try to deliver one message you can't afford to ignore. So let's look at the parable of the sower today. Let's hear, heed, and honor the message that Jesus wants us to hear tonight. It starts in Matthew 13, verse 1. It says, "On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And the great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke these things to them in parable, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth to the earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." I want to jump on down to verse 18, and we'll go ahead and read it too. It says, "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. When the tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on a good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So the first thing we're going to look at is the task of the sower. See, the sower's identity is first what we look at. And in the parable, the sower is the farmer who is broadcasting seed into the field. So according to Jesus and his interpretation of this parable in Mark 4:14, the sower sows the word of God. So the sower pictured in the parable is a reference to Jesus, and by extension to all those who preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, I'm sowing at this very moment right now. He sows because he ultimately desires to reap a harvest. See, he casts his seed with the expectation of much more in return. See, the sower has one goal, and that's to get the seed into the ground so the harvest can come. There are hearts in this room that received the seed of the gospel at one time, that the seed germinated in your heart and produced within your soul. Now your life is a fruitful testimony to the power of God's saving grace. See, that's the intention of the heavenly sower, and that is my desire as I sow today. Next is the sower's investment. The farmer must give something away before he can expect to receive anything in return. So he takes the precious seed that's saved from the last harvest and he casts it onto the soil, hoping that it will produce a great harvest. See, the seed is all that the farmer has, and he gives it away, hoping to receive more in return. So this is what the heavenly sower did. Jesus gave his all so that there might be a gospel seed to cast into the soil of the human heart. See, he died on the cross and he rose again, literally giving his all, knowing that some seed would fall on good soil and some that the great harvest would come back to him. See, Jesus gave his all for you and for me so that we might have a gospel to believe and that you might produce fruit for the glory of the Lord. Romans 7:4 says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." This message we preach at the chapel is the message about a free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. In John 6:37, it says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." However, while salvation may be free, it certainly was not cheap. It cost the glory of heaven his life on the cross. He gave all that he had to give us for a chance to live in eternity. Next is the treasure of the seed. In Luke 8:11, Jesus identifies the seed as the Word of God. See, when the farmer walked into the field with a seed bag, he held his hand in a genuine treasure. He cast the treasure into the wind, hoping it would accomplish his desire. 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked into this world with a treasure, and he came to give men the gospel of grace. See, when Jesus cast the seed of the gospel into the shifting winds of this world, he did so with the sure knowledge that it would accomplish his purpose completely. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, that shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper into things whereunto I send it." I want you to notice the treasure of the seed. See, it holds great power. It holds life. God's word holds life. See, before the seed falls to the soil, it's barren. It lies there barren and empty. But when the seed falls onto the ground into good soil and germinates, it always brings life and something that before was dead. So it is with the gospel of grace. It brings life to the dead hearts of those lost in their sins. In Ephesians 2:1-5, it says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of our flesh and of our mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So you see, when seed germinates, it always transforms the soil into which it is sown. It brings forth life and eventually fruit in a place where only barrenness and death could be found before. Still, this is what makes the gospel such a great treasure. It produces life in a place that was formerly dead. I think back on my own life, how I was dead in sin and hopelessly left out in the cold. But God, I love that, but God made a difference. Amen. It holds a great promise. Every seed that was sown by the sower had the potential to produce much more seed. One little seed had the potential to multiply itself 3,000%, 6,000%, and even 10,000%. Those of you who farm have seen this principle in action. You can plant one bean seed and from that seed reap many beans, can't you? With each pod containing several more seeds. Sow one squash and see what happens. Sow one tomato and see what happens. Gets to the point where you just about can't kill it off. Plant one corn seed and watch it produce a plant that yields several ears, each containing many rows of fresh seeds. Each seed has the potential to reproduce itself many times over. See, such is the promise of the seed of the gospel. When it's sown in the ready heart, it will germinate and reproduce itself over and over and over again. So here's a question for you. Are you reproducing? Because if you're not, something's wrong. Perhaps God's word hasn't germinated in your heart. Such a thing you need to take care of. The testimony of the soil. First was the compacted soil. The wayside refers to a narrow footpath that ran beside and through the field. See, these are the roads of the day, and the soil on them had become as hard as concrete from the feet of travelers and animals that had walked upon them. And when the seed fell on the footpath, it could not penetrate the soil, and it remained there in the open, only to be devoured by the fowls of the air. See, when the seed fell on the footpath, it couldn't penetrate that soil. So we're told that this speaks of a person who hears the gospel but doesn't understand it. You know anybody like that? See, that is, they cannot make a connection between the claims of the gospel and their own life. They're almost there, but not quite. Maybe they've seen, maybe they're steeped in their sin and refuse to believe. Maybe they're calloused and cold towards the things of God and refuse to hear. Maybe they've hardened their hearts for many years, and the seed of the gospel can't penetrate that soul. They hear the gospel and dismiss it as foolishness. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." So, when this happens, the devil will snatch away the gospel seed by diverting the mind and helping the person become even more hardened against God. This person has a heart that is not prepared for the work of grace leading to salvation. Next, we look at the crippled soul. See, these stony places are common in Palestine, and often there'll be an outcropping of limestone rock and covered by a thin layer of topsoil. And this soil looks a lot, looks like it's ready to be sown, but it's not. this ground looks good and a productive and seed cast here will germinate and quickly spring up into a promising plant. But because there's no depth to the soil, as soon as the sun beats down on it, the tender plant withers and without producing any fruit. See, this kind of soil speaks of the heart that makes an emotional response to the penetration of the gospel. Perhaps this person heard the gospel and said, well, I've tried everything else, maybe I'll try this. I might as well give Jesus a try. Or perhaps they came to the altar and they prayed because a friend did. Perhaps they heard a shallow presentation of the gospel that presented the benefits of salvation but didn't share the cost of salvation. See, this person knows nothing about repentance, dying to self and turning away from the old life. Many millions have been inoculated against the gospel by some flimsy gospel presentation and by a false profession of faith. Whatever happened, they made a profession. They're excited. They are active. And they're accepted as the real deal. But because they have no depth to their profession, they fall away when persecutions and tribulations start knocking on their doors. They begin to have problems with simple matters like church attendance and prayer and reading their Bible. They start falling away, as we call it. They have a difficult time making a genuine, lasting break with their sin. They shrink away from the radical claims of Christ and the cross. See, Matthew 16:24 says, Then said Jesus unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. See, they become offended when they are mocked or ridiculed or laughed at or persecuted for their profession of faith. And these are the people who make a profession, often run well for a time, and then wind up right back in the world again. Have you ever seen people do that? In the end, they're further away from God than they were before. Next, we're going to look at the crowded soil. See, this soil looks like it's ready to be sown also, but underneath the surface are the living roots and the seeds of thorns and weeds. See, when the seed falls here, it also springs to life quickly and gives every indication that the good harvest will follow. However, the same ground begins to produce the thorns and weeds that were already there, and they soon choke out that tender plant. See, this plant withers and dies without producing any fruit at all. See, this is the picture of the person who tries to have a benefit of the gospel while still clinging to the old life of sin. See, without a conscious break from the old life of sin, this person does not have a chance of being saved. The seed of the gospel can't survive to produce fruit in a heart filled with other things. See, the seed will have the ground, or sin will have the ground, but it cannot be shared. Jesus said it was the cross, it was the cares of the world and the quest of earthly riches that spelled disaster for this kind of soul. See, this kind of person begins well but soon fades away, having their profession choked out by sin of this world. Friend, if you've made a profession and there's been no change in your life, then you need to repent and call on Christ for salvation.
Yes.
Last, we're going to look at the choice soil. See, finally, some seed fell on good ground, praise God. This ground had to be worked and prepared. It had to be plowed and tilled till it was ready to receive the seed when it came. See, the seed germinates within the heart of the soul and the plant begins to grow. And when the plant reaches maturity, it began to produce fruit that brought honor and gain to the farmer. See, this is the picture of the heart that's been plowed deeply by the Word of God. See, it's the picture of the heart that has been tilled and prepared by the grace of God. And when the seed of the gospel hits this kind of heart, it germinates and grows up and bears fruit for the glory of God. See, this heart alone pictures that kind of life that can truly call itself saved. Why do I say that? This is the only soil that produces fruit. The only difference between these types of soil was fruit. On the hard soil, the seed never penetrated the hard ground and was carried away. On the other three soils, the seed penetrated and disappeared. But only that which fell on the good soil produced fruit. See, the only obstacle to salvation is unbelief. But anyone who is willing to accept Jesus on His terms is good soil. See, this soil represents the only soil among the four that pictures a saved heart. You see, when Jesus enters a life through the gospel message, He'll make His presence known beyond all doubt. There will be no question about it. He'll cause a new believer to begin to bear fruit of the glory of God. In fact, He'll lead the believer through a progression of fruit bearing. And as the days go by, there will be more and more fruit for the glory of the heavenly sower. So what kind of fruit does the gospel seed produce in the good soil of a prepared heart? First, it produces sanctification. See, we'll become more like Him. In Romans 6:22, it says, "But now, being made free from sin and becoming servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life." That's a promise, my friends. Philippians 1:11, "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." Next, it produces spirituality. See, we will behave more like Him. You'll become more of a reflection. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against all such there is no law." We'll become burdened more like Him. So as we've moved through this passage, we've seen one sower sow the variety of seed into four different types of soils. The seed only brought forth fruit in one of those soils. The other soils were bad and nothing of value could come from the seed planted there. See, according to Jesus, the seed is the gospel, and the soul is your heart. So if you were to be honest today, which of these four souls is in your heart? Is your heart hard and closed off to God? If it is, then this message is meant literally for you. See, the enemy has already stolen most of it away. See, if you're hard soil today, then I'm praying that God will sink His plow deep into your soil of your heart and bring you under conviction of your sins so that repentance can come about. So is your heart stony or thorny, and your commitment to your profession shallow? Do you have problems serving the Lord faithfully and staying away from sin? Do you place your hope of heaven on some prayer you prayed or upon some religious activity you've been through, like baptism or church membership? If so, then I challenge you to examine your heart today and to be sure that you are genuinely saved. I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation, but I want you to know that if a person is genuinely saved, they'll be different for the rest of their lives. Scripture tells us therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. New creature. You'll no longer be like you were. Maybe you've heard this message and your heart's been stirred. You know you need to come to Jesus and you need to repent of your sins and you know you need to be saved. If so, then you sound like good soul to me. And if the gospel seed's fallen there tonight and Jesus is calling you, please come to Him. Those who've heard this message may not understand it, but this is one message that you can't afford to miss. The gospel of Christ. Now, I don't know where you're at in your personal walk with Christ. I have no idea. But I do know that you can leave here a changed man. You don't have to leave here the way you came in. You can leave your baggage right here behind you and walk out fresh and anew. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All. We've all messed up, guys. Not a one of us has gotten it right. If so, we wouldn't be here tonight. There'd be no need for it. And we know what happens when that sin touches our lives. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." So how do we take care of this sin problem? Well, 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I've said this before. It's like double coupon day at Walmart. He'll not only forgive your sins, He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What a deal. Why would you turn that down? So how does it come about? It says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's a simple process, guys. There's no need in making it complicated. I'm a simple kind of guy, and I need it to be kept simple, and that's about as simple as we can make it. Jesus said in John 14:6 that Jesus saith unto them that I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. So that's who we're going to be praying for or to. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're going to close with a prayer of salvation. We do this every time. And we say it out loud as to encourage the person beside us because we don't know where each other is spiritually, do we? So it goes like this.
Dear God,
I know that Jesus is your Son.
I know that Jesus is your Son.
And that He died on the cross for my sin. And that He was raised from the dead. I also know that I have sinned. And I'm now asking for forgiveness. I'm willing to turn from my sins. And receive Jesus as my Savior.
And
Master over me. And help me to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to call your attention to the Bible that's in the seat there. Inside of it, you'll find a card that looks like this right here. It's called an attendance report. Now, this is very important to us because it's where we get our numbers as far as making sure that... You got a pen? Okay. To make sure that what we're doing in the mission field is accurate. I saw some statistics this morning my wife came up with that last year alone we had over 30,000 come through our chapels. was 833 of them accepting Christ. Now that is amazing. That is God working. And he's bringing about the fertile soil, and he brings the good seed of his word. Now on this card, they ask you several things. Do you want a newsletter? Are you interested in missionary driver information? And down at the bottom, it has, is this the first time that you've prayed this prayer today for the first time and asked Christ as your Savior? There's a yes and a no down there. Please circle whichever one's appropriate. Inside this attendance envelope is a prayer card. You can put your prayers on this. And it goes over to what I call as Long John Silver's treasure chest. We put them in there and we pray over them for a complete year. I showed Brother Kevin here them yesterday, and it's kind of neat, you know, that we pray over them for a year, you know. And it shows, and we pray over them every morning. I know because I'm one of them that does it. But if you would, when you fill that out, there's a donation slot in the back. You can just slip it into it. Also, I wanted to tell you about a couple of ministries that we have. One's called the Missionary Driver Program, and this is where we take a driver that has a good biblical foundation, and we provide a place in ministry for them. You know, with the downturn of the economy, we've had a lot of people come out of ministry and gone to driving trucks. And what we do is we're providing a place for those types of people so that they can have a ministry on the road. We currently have missionary drivers all across the United States. If being a missionary driver is something that the Lord's laying on your heart, then by all means, talk with me afterwards. I'll be glad to give you the information and hook you up with it. Another ministry that we have is called the 1020 Prayer Impact Ministry. And that's where, you know, your 1020 is your location on the CB, right? So we're asking at 1020, wherever you're at, AM or PM, to pray for the needs of our ministry. And I'm here to tell you tonight that prayer is working in our ministry. I'm seeing the evidence of it daily. Mm-hmm. Daily. So prayer works, and prayer is one of the best tools we got and the least used, believe it or not. So we need... Anybody can do that. Anybody. Guys, I appreciate y'all coming out.
Thank you so much for listening, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. We want you to know that God loves you and wants to have a personal, loving relationship with you. Please keep us in your prayers, and if you'd like to contact us, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/truckstopministries. Also, our website is www.truckstopministries.org. You can also make a donation at either place if you feel so led. We appreciate your prayers, comments, and support, and it is our prayer that God richly bless you.